Mark chapter 2. I appreciate you being here in the Lord's house this evening. I said last night, I say again today, if you're saved, I hope you had a good day.
Yes.
If you're not, I hope you've been miserable about your condition.
Yes.
I want you to stand while I read to you. I thought today, one of them days when I wanted to get the church involved.
Yes.
It's maybe testimonies would break out and I wouldn't need to preach and still may not preach. I don't know.
Yes, sir.
You say you seem uncertain. Well, there's a lot to this preaching business that
Yes, sir. The
world don't know anything about.
Right.
If God wants me to preach to you, I'm going to preach about a Jesus that almost nobody knows about today. They say his name. They pray in his name. They try to preach in his name, but the evidence shows they don't know him.
Yeah.
You say, how many people are you screening out, preacher? Well, I'll leave that up to you. But I'm going to tell you, when God comes by, it makes a difference.
Yeah.
And when God saves an old sinner, which every one of you have been, it makes a difference in you. I see you come to the fountain and drink and leave and be the same human being. It's because you're the same human being. When Jesus does the work, it's forever. It don't last till you give out. It's going to last till he gives out, and you know how long that's going to be. And Jesus here is probably going to be in Peter's house. We think so. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway, many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. I want to stop right there and say, glory to God.
Yes.
And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith,
yes,
he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. I've preached to that much right there.
Yes.
Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And I want to say right there, nobody.
Right.
And when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason these things in your heart? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins are forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, take up thy bed and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. You may be seated. I'm amazed. I've spent a lot of time studying Jesus. That's pretty important. And I'm amazed while he was here that he fulfilled all his time perfectly. He didn't start until he was 30 years old. That's the age of a priest starting. Since he's the high priest, he's going to obey that much of the law. And every word he said was in place everywhere he went. He didn't get up and say, wonder where we're going to go today, and we're just going to mess around a while and go to Shoney's and eat, and then we're going to decide what to do. He knew exactly what he's supposed to do. Directions from heaven.
Right.
And you can't beat that.
Right.
I'm glad tonight I'm saved. I'm glad that a man of God has direction from heaven to know just about what he needs to do. Now, he's coming here to a house in the city, and I want to preach to you just a little while about when Jesus comes to town. And I wonder how much it would change this town if Jesus came. I don't think they'd let him live 3.5 years. I think it would end before 3.5 years. They'd crucify and kill him some fashion before the 3.5 years is up. But he's here to do business, and he knows how to do business, and he knows what business that's been assigned to him.
Yes.
And he's doing exactly what the Father wants him to do. Now, I wonder if he came to your house, what changes that have to be made before he got there, before you'd be worthy to take him in. And he's particular. And he came into the world to save sinners. That's his main mission. He didn't come into the world to make people shout. That's a sad thing. That's wonderful. He didn't come into the world to create quartets and buses to ride them in. He came into the world to save sinners. Paul said, of whom I am chief. Now, he's quite able to do the job. And there wasn't anything faced him here that he wasn't able to do. He had the strength. He had the power to do it. Now, he's going to preach the word to them. That's a strange term right here. And it looks like if anybody could get by dealing with sinners without preaching the word, it looks like he could. But he preached the word. Wouldn't you love to hear that?
Yes.
Jesus Christ preaching. It beat anything preaching that has ever preached here on earth is this little thing right here. He preached the word. When he preached the word, it's going to have effect. It didn't look like it's having much effect, but it's having effect outside the building where he was. I think it had effect on them four that found a man on a pallet. And I want to talk to you about that pallet. I think everybody's got a pallet somewhere near you that some loved one's laying on, and it's your responsibility to get them where Jesus is.
Amen.
Mamas and daddies here tonight, your son, your daughter's not beyond the reach of God.
That's right.
Church members here tonight, preachers here tonight, God's able.
Yes.
Even though I've read this King James Bible, I'm still amazed at the ability of God Almighty to bring about things that to man is impossible.
Yes, right.
He can get a hold of sinners and change them and change them forever and birth them into the family of God without the world knowing anything about it.
Right.
And I'm glad I'm saved, and I know where I got saved. Don't know exactly how it all came to pass, but I know exactly where I was. And know how I felt before I got saved, and know how I felt after I got saved, and there's no comparison. And God filled me with a desire to do something for Him. Between the time I got saved and the time I got back to the house, I think barefoot, it had overalls on. There's 1,000 computers went to work in me. And the things I used to love, I started to hate. And the things I used to hate, I started to love. And I wanted to go to the house of God. I think everybody gets saved want to go to the house of God. And I think they want to go every Sunday night and Wednesday night. And I didn't know what letters stood for, but they told me it was going to have a WMU meeting. And I went to the WMU meeting. That's a women's organization in the church. And I wasn't very welcome, but I went to the house of God because the doors are open. And if you've got gods, you want to know, go where God's people are. And I've told you before, my daddy had hogs, and all the good stuff would run down to the low end. And that's where all the hogs won't be. And I got that much sense. Where all the good stuff is, that's where I want to be. And that's at the house of God. Now, Jesus is preaching the word unto them. What a crowd. Nobody's saying, as far as I know. Nobody's saying. And the crowd desired to hear the word of God. I know that here in North Carolina, I think around Wade Huntley's church, they had a men's revival. No ladies invited. Just had a men's revival. Think about that. It took them 3 or 4 nights to get organized and get started and get anything started at all. Just couldn't do it. I wonder if we just eliminate the ladies for a night or two and just have a men's revival, if we could have anything at all.
Right.
And that's a shame and a disgrace.
Sure.
It ought to make any difference whether they're here or not.
Right.
And the ladies, whether we're here or not.
Right.
They ought to be able to pray together and shout together. I believe that's right.
Yeah.
When God comes in the house, He makes a difference.
Yeah.
You see, if we can get God in here, we can have meetings.
Right.
If the old-time power of God, when we push out the world, when we come through that door and leave all our gripes and complaints and our hard feelings toward anybody else and try to remember what they did bad to us 40 years ago, we can have meetings.
Yes.
Amen. And God's people, if we want revival, I want to tell you that God wants revival worse than we do.
Yes.
He died that we could have revival and people get born again.
Yes.
And you don't have to beg Him to send revival.
No.
Just get in the shape to want it and He'll send it.
Yes. Right.
So as you're preaching, outside the work's going on. There's a fellow down there on a pallet. And he can't operate. No way in the world can he help himself. That's where every sinner is tonight.
Right.
On that pallet. Can't do anything for himself. And he needs the same thing that this man needs. He needs to get where Jesus is.
Amen.
And you can't save him through the screen door by reading Romans to him.
Right.
And there ain't no use you trying. And you can't get him saved by reading to him. It's going to take the power of God.
That's right.
Now, I want to say this tonight to you, and I may just say a few things and quit and turn it over to the church to do something. But I'm going to tell you, God's got to work on a sinner before he gets the notion of being saved.
That's right.
And you can go talk to him all you want to, but until God moves, he's not going to get born again. And there ain't no use you looking at me that way. It ain't going to bother me a bit.
You're right.
Now, if we want sinners saved in the church, we've got to get Jesus here in the power of the Holy Spirit. Ain't that right? You all agree to that? And you know what will get him here is the holy living of church members. If you rank a little bit on the side and do this and that, God ain't going to help you. And if I got your feelings hurt over some little old thing, don't make any difference. And I hardly ever go anywhere. This is one of the major places where there's not some trouble going on all the time. And somebody in the church wanting to get rid of the pastor, and somebody aggravated because they can't sing, or because their daughter's not playing the piano, or some kind of thing, and it's hindering the movement of the Holy Spirit. Are y'all a thought of it? But if we want God, we'll forget a bunch of that stuff and realize our children and grandchildren are lost and going to hell while we're a griping and a complaining and a grumbling. And if we want the power of God, we'll laugh and cry that off and say, whatever suits me. I don't care if they have green carpet or polka dot carpet or who plays the piano. I come to worship God. Amen. When Jesus comes in the house. It about all depends on what we want.
That's true.
I've been up and down through the valleys and hills and mountains and level country for a whole lot of years and traveled a whole lot of miles. Seen a lot of things. I found out that the less modern education they got, the more likely that God would be there.
Right. Right.
What about that? You say, preacher, you say that because you're uneducated. I am that. Uneducated,
but I do know him. And I know he works in the hearts and minds of people that don't think they know more than he knows.
That's right.
Amen. And don't want to use the book that he gave us to use.
That's right.
Their education tell them we need a better book, and they don't have one, can't make one. And I'll say to you tonight, all you need is what God's got. You don't have to invent anything else. What saves your mom and daddy and grandpa get the job done tonight. Amen. You don't have to have the NIV or the RSV or no other kind of V's. You need the King James Bible that God made for the English speaking people. Amen. And that's what saved them old people. I was just reading it. What we need to do is believe it. Ain't that right? And God Almighty now came to preach the Word of God. He's a-doing it, and it's always having effect. Anytime a man of God preaches an anointing of the Holy Ghost, it has effect.
Yes, sir.
And I've been up and down the road and trying to preach and think no effect. And the next night I hear that God done something. When I know God had worked through this four frame and God will do something. What we need to do is quit complaining about ourselves and get under the load for God Almighty. Amen.
Yes. Yeah.
Now I pastor a little church up down to the side of the road, and it looks pretty insignificant, and it is in the eyes of the world, and one of the few in that country where there is any God at all. And God will meet with us on Sunday morning. And I don't carry on about the people outside. I know what the outside world is. I was in the Army for 3 years. I know what's going on out there. And nothing good. It's all just about bad. And when we come in the house of God, we ought to leave all that outside. Can you do that? Can you just come in and leave everything outside and all the old family troubles and all the old church troubles that went on 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and forget it and worship God? Now, I think if I'm right, if I don't stand and produce something that will glorify God and have some spirit in it, it ain't your fault. I believe if everybody in here is a cussing and committing adultery, then if I'm right with God, God would help me preach. Y'all believe that?
Yes, yes.
And I believe it don't make any difference who's right and who's wrong. If you're trying to live right, God will let you testify and sing, and he'll bless you for doing it.
Yes, yes.
And you say, well, there's a bad spirit in here and I can't get nothing. That's your fault.
That's right.
Now, the Lord's a preaching here and they're listening, and there's such a crowd there that these men can't get this crippled man to where Jesus is. And I know a lot of cases where they had to run over the deacon board and call another preacher and kick this one out to get sinners where Jesus is.
Yeah.
And so they went up on the roof and tore it up. And them roofs in that day were pretty level.
Right.
And they had to know where he was before they cut the roof up. He's up here preaching, and they cut it up back yonder. They miss him. So they had to find out where he was. And that's what we got to do. Find out where he is and what he's a blessing before we can get our sinners to him. Y'all believe that's right? Now, he's not down yonder at the beach.
Right.
And he's not down yonder in the saloon. I can eliminate all them places.
Yeah.
And he's not in the Republican National Convention.
Yeah, right.
And he's not in the White House.
Right.
But he's in the church house.
Yes.
And he's in my house and he's in my heart.
Amen.
And if I can get my house right and get it in the church right, and my heart right,
yes,
and the church is right, we can have a meeting.
Yes. Yeah.
And they're going to have it here regardless. Here are the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Some people knows God and some people don't know God and some people wanting to kill him. But these two poor people had a pallet on their mind to get him to God. You mamas and daddies tonight that need to get your children to God, if you'll follow what I've already said and get everything else out of your way and kill your pride, and testify and weep on Sunday morning at the house of God and tell the people and God that you want to see your kids get saved, God will move on your family.
Right.
I've been a student of prayer all these years and still haven't learned much. But there ain't a thing that God can't do.
That's right.
Did you hear what I'm saying? There ain't a thing that God can't do. There's not a boy nor a girl, no matter how astray they are, I tell you, that God can't affect.
Right.
And then we'll have the faith to pray and stay with it. And I said, the first night about how long you pray. And God's not interested primarily on how long you pray. The length of your prayer don't mean as much to Him as the quality of your prayer. And if you'll spend time with God, that's between you and God, and be honest with Him, and you get out on your knees, be honest with Him. You know what I tell Him when I start? How sorry I am. And ask Him if there's anything in my way, and forgive me, and cry about it.
Yes, sir.
And then begin to worship Him.
Yes, sir.
And just let it flow through me and let the Holy Ghost talk to my heart about what to say to God. Is that new to you all?
Right.
I don't start out for praying for Charles and Elmer and Sally and Sue. I want God to bring to my heart who I ought to pray for.
Right. Yeah.
I want the Holy Ghost to direct my prayers. You see, He knows what the will of God is, and if I can buddy up with the Holy Ghost, He'll have me to preach to them things that's the will of God to give me.
Right.
You all think that sounds right?
Right.
And I'll pray. And I got some men I pray for just about every time. If I can get in gear where I can pray, I'll pray for some men, some families, and for my children, their grandchildren. And I call, most of the time when I pray, I call everybody's name that come regularly to my church. And effect, I've seen great effect. And I've asked God, I don't ask Him for a big crowd. I don't say, Lord, this really send us folk. I did that for a while. And He stopped me and says, is that what you want, the crowd? And I thought about it and said, no, and it's what I want, I want some good people. I want some people that'll be a help at the church. Some old sinners that wants to listen. I don't care. I told him a while back, spill his whole left side over here if you want to with homosexuals, drunks, if they'll come and listen.
Yes.
And be quiet and want to make a change. That's the way I'd want to preach to Bill Clinton and that outfit that's in the White House now.
Yes.
If they wanted to hear something and have a notion of getting right with God.
Right.
And we're not going to put a sign outside that says everybody welcome because everybody ain't in the shape they're in. And I want to tell you tonight, this is a little old pallet laying out there. One of your children's on it tonight. Your grandchildren, your brother, your sister, your dad, your mama. And it's somebody's obligation to get them to God.
That's true.
You reckon it's yours?
Yes.
There's somebody's obligation. See, they can't do anything for themselves. And you can read to them, but I'm going to tell you what you do. I'll tell you sometime you go up to the casket and try to read to a dead man and see what he does.
That's right.
It ain't going to do no good.
Right.
You can talk to him through the screen door, and he's a dead man.
Right.
Until you get him where the gospel's being preached and that word of God,
right.
That word of God will quicken that dead spirit that's in him, that inward man,
right.
And make him hear enough gospel to know he's lost.
Yeah.
You say, oh, you don't think Hiles would agree with that. I didn't ask Hiles.
Right.
I'm looking at this Bible right here.
Yeah.
And that inward man hears the gospel and knows he's lost and that's all he gets. And then the Holy Ghost begins to work on him and begin to pull on him. Y'all hear me? And I'm going to tell you tonight, right out yonder somewhere tonight, is that people you know, there's a pallet. And somebody's on it that can't help themselves. And I'm asking you where your pallet is that you're obligated to. Have you prayed for them? You know, I got in a... a study in prayer and going to God and saying, help me with this, Lord. I won't be able to address you better. If I'm going to get anything done, I'm going to have to pray the way you want to. I just don't want to go through a rigmarole. That's no better than a Pharisee.
Right.
And you know what I wound up doing? Praying for my enemies. I'm talking about people that's really my enemies, that hates me and wants to do something bad to me. And I got to praying for them, and I'm going to tell you something happened in me.
Amen.
And I'll say to you tonight, and if we'll pray, and if you'll pray, and I'll make this challenge to you for this church right here, wherever you go to church. You spend time of doing what I'm telling you to do tonight, what I've told you this week before God, is get down on your face and on your knees, and you don't have to holler and have a rigmarole just right and say, Our Father, which is in heaven, and be sure to end it just right. Go to talking to Him like He's your Father.
That's right, yeah.
And you'll get effect in your life, and you'll say, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And the first thing you know, there'll be a love grow between you and Him, and a friendship and a partnership, and you'll feel like Christ's brother sure enough. And God's gonna affect you toward Him. That'll change your ways. Maybe some of you better not do that because you don't want to change what you're doing. And if you don't want to take some things out of your refrigerator and out of your house and throw it in the gully somewhere, you say, preacher, you preach against television. It must be in your mind or you wouldn't have thought to have. And I want to tell you that, you see, if you get with God and find out what He wants for your life, if you're not willing to do anything and do it back to give Him pleasure in your life, don't start praying.
That's right. Yeah.
Because you ain't going to get anywhere unless you see when Peter's on the housetop and when God put down that sheet and all four-footed beasts and creeping things, and He said, arise and eat. And Peter said, not so, Lord. You can't do that.
Right.
It's impossible for you to mean both things, not so, and say Lord in the same sentence.
That's right.
If He's your Lord, you'll never say no.
Amen.
Does that sound right to you?
Right.
If He's your Lord, if He really is your Lord, you'll never say no. You'll never say, I can't do that. I can't do it. If He tells you later to quit your job and go home, you say, we can't do that, Lord. He's not your Lord.
That's right.
Amen. You say, you own that again? No, I'm just continuously on it.
Yeah.
God knows some people that's sold out to Him.
Right.
And don't you run somewhere and quit your job just because I said that. You better watch what you're doing. God will let you be a fool and get you in trouble. You better get with God and find out what He wants you to do according to His will. Amen.
Right. Yeah.
I've known people to sell out and quit out. I had some people came to a meeting where I was, and they followed me around for I don't know how long. And they came to me one night. I'd go back in that community, and here'd come that family, two or three of them. I wouldn't see them again for 3 or 4 months and be back in that country, and here they'd come again, get in the meeting. They came to me one night and said, we're not coming back to any more of you meetings. Well, I said, what in the world did I do? I said, you broke us. They said, we come to your meeting, get under the power of the Holy Ghost, go home and throw out a bunch of stuff and get right with God, and you're gone for a while, and we'll buy back and get back and come back to your meeting and have to go out and throw it all out again, and we're broke, and we're not coming back no more. That's a crooked mess.
Yeah, it is.
He's either your Lord or He's not.
That's right.
How many of you got young'uns that's going to hell?
Yes.
They don't get right with God. How many of you got there? Some of you did grandchildren?
Yes.
Amen. Brothers and sisters and daddies and mamas.
Yes.
Lord, help us tonight. They've brought Him up on top of the building. Scratched and dug and hammered and sawed. They got down through that where Jesus was. And all the time Jesus is preaching the Word of God. I guess things fell down. He just kept preaching. Preachers, that's what we ought to do. No matter what happens, we ought to preach.
Yes, sir.
Right, sir.
And let Him down in front of Him. Oh, tonight, are you holding up your corner of the pallet?
Mm-hmm.
There's somebody out in the home where you are, and your children, you done quit making them mind. They've all got phones, televisions in their room, and you're trying to get them to do right. You're already messing up bad.
Yep.
Do you make them go to church? You said, I don't make my kids go to church. You're silly.
Right.
Whip your kids and make them go to the house of God. Either that or break their plate if they're old enough. Thank God to get out and make their own living and so forth. And they define you about going to the house of God, break their plate and pack their clothes.
Right.
Now I'm going to tell you men this, and you can get mad at me if you want to. I'm going home after tomorrow night. But I want to tell you, sir, you're responsible for your household.
That's right.
And I don't care what your wife said and how she pleads with you. You better take that old King James Bible and say, this is what we're going to do at my house. We ain't going to vote on it. We're not going to say me and you is equal, and part of the time we'll do what you want to and all this kind of stuff. And I'm not trying hard to make it on ladies. God help tonight me, and thank God it's wonderful to have a good wife.
Yes.
But you're going to be held responsible for what goes on to your house.
Right.
Teach them children, make them go to the house of God and sit down and
That's
be quiet.
Right.
Put them in the choir, and if they don't, whip them until the fire alarm goes off.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
And they'll let down the pallet in front of Jesus. And when sinners come to Jesus, he didn't know anything about what's going on. Now, there's nothing said in here about God saving this man. But he did what he needed. Are you understanding me? We spiritualize all this, you know, and that's wonderful.
Sure.
But nothing said about him saving this man, but he healed him.
Yes.
And these men that brought him, what do you say? There ain't nothing said about them after that. Just he saw their faith, you know. Don't you imagine they had a party themselves?
Yes, sir.
When that old boy got up off that pallet and picked her up, put her on his shoulder and took off to his house.
That's right.
Doesn't say about them anymore, but I want to talk to them when I get to heaven.
Yes.
Say, what did y'all feel like? And the Lord bragged on them.
Right.
And I want to say to you tonight in closing that my heart's for you. And I'd like to see you get closer to Jesus. I've never found nobody like him.
That's right.
And he wants to talk to you. Would you let him?
Yes.
Just seek him out. Say, here I am, Lord. I'm not trying to be anybody fancy.
Right.
I just want to come to pray. Just come to where you are. You're my Heavenly Father, and I know you love me. And you're just not standing up there somewhere with a big stick waiting till I do something wrong where you can hit me. But a loving Heavenly Father that's looked over a lot of things in your life and still blessed you. If God hadn't looked over some things in your life, you couldn't hit a lick at nothing spiritually.
Right.
I know about you tonight. I'd say you ain't been perfect since the last get-together.
Right, that's right.
And if God held all of that away from you till you got right, you couldn't do anything at all.
That's right.
And he loves you.
That's right.
You've been saved. He's your Heavenly Father.
That's right.
I come in from the meeting. I'm going to tell you this again. I come to Carolina sometimes 16, 18 meetings out of the year. Go other places, Mississippi and Georgia. Come in on Saturday. My wife would get the clothes out of the car and get them in the washer and start again. And I'd leave either Sunday afternoon or Monday morning. Everybody ain't as nice to me as you are. Sometimes I'd come home crying. Pull up in front of the house, right in the yard, in front of the porch, and stop and open my door. And sat there and cried. So we can start us to get my clothes ready, and I've got to go out again tomorrow. And one day I pulled in. My wife always hear me pull in, and she'd come out and stand on the porch, and I opened the door, and she'd just stand there and wait. And this day she spoke up and said, what's the matter with you? And I said, I've had all I can stand. I can't go any further. She just stood there. I got out of the car and went to the house. I said, I'm done with it. Got out of the car and went to the house. Went and fell down across the bed. And dozed off to sleep. And I woke up and I felt the Lord had done me that way. Did you know that's the way deaf mute people talk? It's like you're trying to get a dog to come to you.
Yeah.
And I felt the Lord had done me that way.
Yes.
And I got up and run to the back bathroom, way back away from everybody. And I said, Lord, I'm sorry I said what I do about it. I'm quitting. And you know what he said? I knowed yesterday you were going to say that. But Brother Robert, there's a fire burning in me that I couldn't put out.
Yes, sir.
Do y'all know him? Do you?
Yes.
You really know him?
Yes.
That he wants to do for you. Them that's got children here, grandchildren, you want to do something for them. But if there's a contrary, they won't sit in your lap. They don't like you, nothing about you. You don't rush and try to give them things, and God ain't either.
Right.
But if you'll just climb up in his lap.
Yeah.
I'm feeling God. If you'll just climb up in his lap.
Yes, yes.
And call him Father.
Yes.
Shed a few tears and say, I love you.
Yes, yes.
You know, every day I tell him, I say, I love you, Lord. I love you.
Yes.
You say, sound like you got a father and son relationship. Now you're catching on.
That's right.
And somewhere in front of me, there's little old pallets in my ministry and in my church. I've seen a lot of people come through my church and grow up and go out, and some of them went to hell.
Yeah.
And all a part of that palace, that's my responsibility. And I want to preach better every Sunday. I want to preach better and affect them that they'll come and get on their face and join in. I'm talking about getting born again.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I want to tell you, if you're here tonight and you don't have a prayer life, you're ashamed in front of God. Do you ever visit him? Do your children, when they don't come to see you, and your grandchildren, do you just kind of get, is that what they're going to do? If they don't want to be around me, that's all right with me. Well, you thank the Lord, thanks. When you don't come and get around him and just love and hug him.
Right.
You say, this is new to me. That's why I'm telling you. I thought maybe it was.
Yeah.
And he wants to give you things. And I'm not talking about cars and houses. There's things a whole lot more important than that.
Yeah.
He wants to do business at your house.
Yeah.
And he'll preach the word to you.
Yeah.
When I started out, you know, all them people that know things said, now, you listen to the older men, you know, and the Southern Baptist Convention, and you just listen to them and you follow their tracks. And I thought, that's right, you know. They give my wife instructions. Them older women give my wife instructions. And they told her, they said, now your hair's too long. And said, that'll give you headaches when you have longer hair. It puts a strain on you and on your neck and gives you headaches. And she got in the car and told me, you know. And said, now you go stay with your husband. I mean, go with him everywhere he goes. And here's what you do and here's how you act. And I said, I'll tell you what, honey, if you don't care, just let me run things. And they don't have no idea what me and you want. This is our household.
Right.
And you tell them now on to hush up, you're following your husband and God Almighty.
Amen.
I believe that'd be all right, don't you? So
yeah.
They left her alone.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. And if you're God's child, he'll tell you what to do.
Right.
And you're God's child. You ain't going to beat your children, drink no liquor, and go dancing when your wife and husband don't know anything about
right.
it. And if he's your heavenly Father and you're interested in getting things from him, you're going to walk his walk.
That's right. That's right.
Well, does anybody want to pray tonight? Just kind of get up close to him again and say, Lord, it's me. And I'm hurting inside. And there's a pallet out there I'm worried about, Lord. And there's sinners on it. I want to see them get born again. And I'd like to bring them to you. Oh, the sinners I've seen come. Things that look like impossible.
Yes, sir.
As sinners had come. And God wants to save sinners. And he wants you to get closer to him.
Yeah.
And there'll be a miracle in your life when you found out you can hug God.
Yes.
You ever done that? Just said, Lord, I'm yours.
Amen.
I ain't griping about what's wrong with me. I don't care if you've got three cancers working on you tonight. You ought to hug him. What's it going to do for you to gripe on him? You ain't going to change his mind.
Right.
Just tell him I love you. If I'm coming home to you, it's certainly fine.
Yes.
Everybody stand, please. I'm just going to talk to you tonight.